Hallelujah. May peace be with all the beloved brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah. 愿神的平安与弟兄姐妹同在。
This morning, the topic for our sermon is, you have kept the good wine until now.
今天早上呢，要用把最好的酒留到最后来跟大家一起做到勉励。
Recently, we have been reading the Gospel of John.
大家都知道我们现在在读约翰福音。
And the theme of the Gospel of John is to prove that Jesus actually is the Son of God.
约翰福音事实上呢，也就在这个福音里面证明神就是神的儿子。
Because the Gospel of John is quite different than the other three Gospels.
那么也在约翰福音里面，事实上跟其他三个福音都不太一样。
That the perspective is different.
因为看法不太一样。
The book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, is talk about Jesus is the King.
在马太福音当中，我们看得到它的整个主题说到耶稣就是国王。
In the Gospel of Mark, it depicts Jesus as the servant of God.
那么在马可福音里面呢，却看到了耶稣是神的仆人。
In the Gospel of Luke, it depicts Jesus as the Son of a Man.
那么在路加福音看到了神是人子。
主耶稣
是人子。
But the Gospel of John is to emphasize Jesus' divinity, which is Jesus actually is God's Son and is God Himself.
约翰福音更进一步的重点说到了耶稣就是神的儿子。
In order to prove that point, that the Gospel of John has used seven I am's to describe Jesus.
在这个福音里面呢，特别用到了。我是这七次用七次的时间讲到说我是来形容耶稣。
Alongside the author of the Gospel of John also used seven signs or called miracles to prove Jesus he is the Son of God.
同样时间用了七个神迹来证明耶稣就是神的儿子。
We know that seven in the Bible is a perfect number.
我们大家都知道七在圣经的数字里面是个完全数。
And Jesus is perfect.
换句话，也就是说，耶稣是完全的。
So there are totally seven miracles, or to be more precise, it's called seven signs that in the Gospel of John recorded.
那么这七个神迹，也就是七个证明来告诉我们说，耶稣也就是神的儿子。
And this morning we'll study the first one.
今天早上我们来看看第一个神迹。
And it's the very first miracle that Jesus performed.
也就是耶稣所做出来的第一个神迹。
Where did Jesus perform this miracle?
我们看地点在哪里。
Let's turn to Gospel of John, chapter 2.
我们看约翰福音第二章。
Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 1.
约翰福音二章的第一节。约翰福音第二章第一节。第三天在加利利的迦拿有娶亲的筵席。耶稣的母亲在那里。
The location of this miracle was in Cana of Galilee.
好，这个地点已经说明了，说到就在加利利的迦拿。
Cana is a really small village.
迦拿是一个非常小的村庄。
If not because of this miracle, I think most people who read the Bible would never come across this place.
如果不是有这么一个神迹在这边发生的话，也许大家读经当中也许不会特别注意迦拿。
Let's look at the map.
我们看看这个地图。
Galilee is the northern part of the Palestine area.
我们看到在巴勒斯坦地区呢，加利利算是最北边的一个城市。
The south region is called Judah, which is more prosperous and more like an urban center.
在这个地方南边呢是属于犹大地，换句话也就是比较城市的、比较有文化的、比较商业性的。
We heard about Jerusalem. We know the temple was there, you know, and the palace was there, and all the political center.
那举几个例子，比如说耶路撒冷也在那边，一些政治的中心点都在那里。
But the northern part of the land is more like suburb, like a village area.
那事实上，在当时北边，也就是加利利的地方呢，是北边的乡村式的比较淳朴的。
Now, even though Jesus was born in Bethlehem,
那么虽然耶稣在伯利恒长出生的
，However, he was raised up in Nazareth, which is in the Galilee area.
但是耶稣却在拿撒路这个地方呢来成长、来长大，也就是加利利这里。
In today's term, that we can say Jesus actually grew up in village or really suburb area.
换句话，如果以今天的看法的话呢，耶稣是在乡下长大的。
And Jesus chose to perform his first miracle in a small village called Cana, which is very close to Nazareth, where he was raised up.
我们可以看到呢，耶稣 所做的第一个神迹是非常靠近他的家乡，也就是拿撒勒这个地方呢，来出现第一个神迹。
If you look at the next picture, it shows that actually the village of Cana in Jesus' time could be very like a rural, very small village like this.
在耶稣时代，迦拿这个地方呢，算是一个非常非常偏远、非常乡下的。
Very relatively unknown place.
换句话，不是大家都知道的一个小村庄。
But Jesus liked being from somewhere unknown and choose a low profile entry to his ministry.
但是我们可以看到呢，主耶稣行的第一个神迹却在这里发生，却在这个大家不经意的地方发生。
And then, of course, today, because of that miracle, and also after 2,000 years of development, this has become a small, we can say it's a small town or small city, like the next picture shows us.
那我们看在下一个图案图片告诉我们说，在经过了这2000年之后呢，事实上这个地方仍然是一个小小的村庄型的一个地区。
And because of that miracle, that people built a church to commemorate that event.
好，我们看到也因为耶稣在那边行的第一个神迹呢，因此在那边盖出了一个会堂在那个地方。
So if today people visit Israel, if they go to Cana, it is also a must-see place.
所以换句话呢，今天有到这个埃及这个以色列地去访问的话呢，都会特别看这个地方。
Okay, on what occasion Jesus performed a miracle?
好，那在什么样的机会呢？主耶稣做这个神迹。
Let's read verse 1 again.
我们再看回第一节。
He said there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee.
第一节这边说到，在加利利呢，在迦拿这个地方有一个娶亲的筵席。
We know that wedding banquet is a happy event.
我们都知道，筵席尤其是娶亲的，大家开心的。
It's to celebrate two young person joined together in a matrimony.
换句话，也就是两个人在成长之后呢，利用这样的筵席呢，举办婚礼啊。
And in across culture.Wedding banquet or wedding ceremony are very important events of any society.
不管你来自哪一个文化背景呢，娶亲的筵席都是最重要的。
And especially for the Jews, wedding is so important for them.
尤其是当时的犹太人，对他们来讲更加重要了。
Sometimes the wedding banquet can last for a few days or even to a week.
那么有时候这样的娶亲的筵席可以高达七天，甚至一很长的一段时间都在做娶亲的筵席。
Now, there was a wedding banquet there, and Jesus, you know, the mother of Jesus was there.
好，这里有一个娶亲的筵席，耶稣的母亲也同时出现在那里。
We know that the mother of Jesus is Mary.
我们都知道玛利亚是耶稣的母亲。
So probably maybe her relative children got married, or her friends' children got married, so she is invited.
换句话，也就是说，很可能是耶稣母亲的亲戚的小孩子，那要举行婚礼，因此耶稣跟他的母亲都被请到筵席里了。
And because of Mary was there, so Mary's son Jesus was also kind of invited.
所以我们看到玛利亚竟然被邀请了，因此玛利亚带着儿子耶稣呢一同前往了。
We know that sometimes in a big wedding banquet, right? You don't really have to know the guest so well, but sometimes if you know the friend's friend or your relative's relative, right? You kind of being invited over altogether.
所以我们可以看到，在当时其实跟现在也是一样的，有时候是因为亲戚的亲戚、朋友的朋友被同时邀请在参加宴席。
So because of that, Jesus was invited.
因此耶稣同时被邀请了。
And because Jesus was invited, so Jesus also brought along his disciple also go there.
我们看到耶稣不只是耶稣自己一个人去了，带着他的门徒也去复习了。
You know, sometimes if you are a little bit stingy, if you are calculative, you will be hesitate to invite or Mary's son Jesus and his 12 disciples.
啊，如果这个主人比较小气一点啊，可能会想说，我请了耶稣的母亲，没有请耶稣啊，更不应该请他的门徒才对啊。
However, that was the right decision that the host invite Jesus to go there.
我们可以看到这个主人做出了一个正确的决定，不但请耶稣的母亲，请了耶稣，更加上他的门徒一起来了。
Because if Jesus wasn't there, then the problem later happened would not be solved.
我们重点在看到说，如果主耶稣没有在现场的时候，当时发生的问题恐怕就解决不了了。
So it is very important to invite Jesus.
所以重点在这边，在这样的婚礼里面要请耶稣来。
Now, for brother and sister who are still young,
弟兄姐妹还是年轻的时候
，If you haven't got married yet.
也许你还没有结婚。
Make the determination that one day when you get married, your wedding must invite Jesus.
所以在你的心里面一定要做出这样的决心定义。当我结婚的时候，一定要请耶稣来。
What does it mean?
什么意思
？When you can get married inside the chapel and being blessed by the minister.
今天如果能够来到会堂，有耶稣同在。并有长子们祝福的婚礼。
And we can conduct the wedding in the name of Jesus Christ for you.
我们奉主耶稣的圣名为你举办婚礼。
Then Jesus is in the among the guests of your wedding.
同时间，换句话也就是说呢，在这个筵席当中，在这场聚会当中，耶稣在这里啦。
It doesn't matter whether it's a big chapel or a small place.
不管是大的、小的地、小的这个会堂，无所谓。
The most important is Jesus Christ is in the midst of your wedding.
重点是因为耶稣来到我的婚礼了。
Jesus can bless your marriage.
那么也因为耶稣来到，所以可以祝福我的婚礼了。
And your wedding will be blessed.
那么你的婚礼就一定是祝福的。
Some people they emphasize, oh, I have to do an extravagant wedding, you know, in a very beautiful setting, a lot of luxurious items.
有些人非常重视我的婚礼一定要非常豪华、非常漂亮、非常的美丽的。
But if Jesus is not in your wedding,
但是如果耶稣没有被你请来。
It is you are missing the most important part.
那么我们这场婚礼就少了一个最重要的人。
So for young people, we have to make a determination.
所以今天我们的弟兄姐妹，年轻一辈的应该要做这样的心智。
One day I get married, I must marry in the church.
我要立定这样的心智，如果有一天结婚，我一定要在教会会堂里面结婚。
I must be blessed by the minister.
那么不只是受到这个长子们的祝福。
In order to do that, you have to keep yourself pure.
为了要这样做呢，必须从现在开始，必须要保持自己一个圣洁。
Because before marriage, you cannot have any sexual relationship.
换句话，在婚姻之前呢，绝对不能有任何的性关系。
You cannot learn from the world.
我们不能够学世界这样。
We have to keep ourselves.
我们必须要保持自己成圣。
And also, we have to marry in the same faith.
而且我们要在主内联婚。
Then we can get married in the chapel.
那么这样，我们就能够来到会堂里面举办我的婚礼。
And Jesus is in your wedding.
那么这时候，耶稣就会被你请到你的婚礼。
Now, after you get married,
结婚之后
，you have to always ask yourself, is Jesus in my marriage?
我们常常要问自己，我的婚姻当中是否有耶稣
？Do I put Jesus in the center of my marriage?
今天在我的婚姻当中，我是不是把耶稣放在我的婚姻的最中心
？If you put Jesus in the middle of your marriage, Jesus will always help you to sort out your marriage problem.
今天如果我们真的把耶稣放在我的婚姻生活的最中间，耶稣一定帮我解决问题。
Because they're running out, they're very soon they're having the first problem in their marriage.
因为我们继续往下看呢，宴席开始没多久，问题就来了。
That is, they're running out of wine.
最重要的事情，这边一个重点了，酒用完了。
But because Jesus was there.
但是主耶稣在那里。
So Jesus helped them to sort it out.
所以主耶稣帮他们解决这个问题。
Now, let's look at the next line and think about why did Jesus choose a wedding banquet to perform his first miracle.
好，再下一个，这里重点说，为什么耶稣要选择在婚姻宴会当中做他第一个神迹？
There's a few reasons.
我们看看有几个理由。
The main reason actually is Jesus emphasized marriage so much.
最重要的一个原因就是耶稣非常重视婚姻的。
Because we know Jesus actually is God himself.
我们都知道耶稣就是神本身。
Now, if we look at the book of Genesis, what did God do after he created the whole world for Adam and Eve?
我们看回创世纪，我们看到神在创造一切之后呢，他做了另外一件事情，就是创造亚当跟夏娃。
The first thing after the creation of the world is that he instituted marriage.
换句话呢，在他的创造当中呢，他做的其中一件事情就是建立婚姻制度。
That is very important.
这是一个重点。
Without that, there's no foundation of human society.
没有这样的婚姻制度被神建立的话，社会是没有秩序的。
Without that, there will be no foundation of faith to pass along generation.
如果没有婚姻制度被神建立的话，那么在传承信仰的传承就看不到踪影了。
So the Old Testament, the first thing that God did after He created the world is to institute marriage.
所以在旧约圣经一开始呢，在神创造之后呢，就创造了设立了婚姻的制度。
And then we now look at the New Testament.
来到了新约。
When Jesus came out to perform the first miracle, He did it in a marriage setting.
我们看到主耶稣所行的第一个神迹，就是利用婚姻这个场所来行第一个神迹。
And solve a problem.
而且解决了他们其中一个最重要的问题。
So that's why Jesus emphasized so much on marriage.
所以我们看到主耶稣非常重视婚姻呐。
And we look at the last book in the Bible called Revelation.
我们看最后圣经里面最后一本书的启示录。
That one last thing will happen.
那么最后一天即将要来到。
That is the wedding of the Lamb.
那么也就是与羔羊的婚姻。
The Lamb is Lord Jesus Christ.
我们看到这个羔羊也就是主耶稣。
The church is His bride.
那么教会也就代表了他的心腹。
We are in a spiritual marriage with Lord Jesus.
今天我们在属灵的关系上跟主耶稣是一个婚姻的关系。
Even though physically you are not married.
是的，肉体上我们没有所谓的成亲。
Or maybe your worldly marriage is not that happy.
那么也许在我们的婚自己的世界上的婚姻呢，不是这么的美满。
However, there's one marriage still waiting for you.
但是有一个最终的婚礼等着你。
The marriage with the Lamb.
也就是要与羔羊成亲。
Spiritually, we are husband and wife of Lord Jesus Christ.
在属灵的关系上，我们主耶稣跟主耶稣基督是一个夫妻关系。
So close, so sweet.
这种夫妻关系是这么甜美，这么的靠近。
So that's why marriage is very important.
所以对我们来说，婚姻制度是非常重要的。
So for all the brothers and sisters, we have always have to go back to the Bible and look into our own marriage.
所以今天弟兄姐妹，在我们的婚姻当中里面，我们一定要回到圣经，重新检测我们的婚姻。
Next slide. Don't be fooled around. Don't be lied by the world, the deceptive concept of the worldly thinking.
今天我们要小心的就是这个世界用各式各样的方法来欺骗我们，让我们误会了婚姻的关系。
But look at the Bible and say, what is God's law on marriage?
所以我们看到了在主内的婚姻是什么？
Never time, never change.
也就是说永远不变的关系。
One man, one woman, one lifetime.
也就是在你一生当中只有一男一女一夫一妻。
And then one lifetime.
也就是一生一世的。
Not two men, not two women.
绝对不是两个女人两个男人的关系。
When God created is one man, one woman.
因为神的创造在制造婚姻关系的时候，也就是一男一女。
That never change.
这个关系从来不变过。
But because human being departed from God, they do things their own way.
但是因为人类的犯罪呢，想用自己的方法来满足自己的情欲。
And they redefine marriage whatever they want.
所以也就重新的给婚姻下了一个定义，按照自己的意思下定义。
But God's law on marriage never change.
但是在神里面的婚姻是永远不改变的。
So we must emphasize the permanent nature of marriage relationship.
所以我们必须要很重视那种永久的关系在婚姻当中。
And we must encourage young people to find the mate that are worthy of a lifetime commitment.
所以换句话呢，我们必须要鼓励我们的青年，要找寻那永远的一种契约。
And those who can commit to you and also commit to the faith.
而且这样，对方是能够完全把自己放在这个信仰里面的人。
Not to look on worldly quality or conditions too much.
而不是只重世界上虚华的外表的人。
And there's a famous triangle that we always talking about.
啊，我们常常把婚姻的关系用三角形来说明。
This is called the marriage triangle.
也就是婚姻的三角关系。
That our Lord Jesus Christ, our one true God, is in the top of the triangle.
我们知道，在这个三角形的最顶端，也就是我们这唯一的独一真神耶稣。
And the husband and wife on the side.
那么先生跟太太呢，就在两边。
Of course, we have differences, we have distance.
是的，我们都有距离，都有不同，每个个体都不一样。
But when both are having the same faith, same foundation, same core value, they move closer to Jesus.
但是呢，如果这两个人有同样的信仰，同样的重点在信仰上的话，会越来越靠近耶稣。
And the heart is will grow closer and closer and closer.
那么这两个人的心，日子越长就越加靠近了。
Because your thinking, your heart, your mind is the same.
因为我们的想法、我们的动作、我们的言语都一样啊。
Now, let's turn back to John chapter 2.
我们再看回约翰福音二章。
While they are happy drinking, you know, having a banquet, alcohol must be there.
我们都知道娶亲的筵席少不了就要有酒了。
But while they were drinking, there's a problem.
好了，喝酒喝到一半的时候出问题了。
Chapter 2 verse 3.
我们看第三节，酒用尽了，耶稣的母亲对他说，他们没有酒了。
Wow. As we mentioned, that in the past, the wedding banquet can last for a few days to a week.
好像刚才我们说，都到了当时的习俗，这样的筵席很可能可以撑七天的时间。
And actually, people can come in and out, right? You never know exactly who will come or who will not come or how long will they stay.
换句话，这样的筵席很像流水席一样，进进出出很多人，很多人进出的。
And if more people come than expected, or if they drink more than naturally or on average, then your wine can be consumed very fast.
换句话，也就是人既然多，这个饮料这个酒呢，用尽的速度就更快。
Now according to the culture of that time, the host must prepare whatever amount of wine that the guest requested.
好，在当时的文化。也告诉我们说，如果是主人的话，不管多少人来，你的酒绝对不可以用光了。
If the guest requests to bring more wine, but the host cannot fulfill the request, and it is a very big shame.
所以，客人如果要求主人拿出更多的酒来，主人提不出来的话，对当时的主人来说是非常羞耻的。
Now the wine is about to run out.
好了，这里告诉我们了，酒已经用尽了。
But the people are still having a good time. They don't want to go home yet.
那么这个时候正是筵席的一半而已，还不打算回家呢。
I think if you are the host, you'll be very embarrassed.
如果今天我们就是那家的主人，我们是不是很尴尬
？Just like if you're hosting a meal in your house, right? Your guests are still eating. They're so hungry. Say, oh, what's the next dish? Is it actually I have nothing right now?
就好像今天我们请人家来家里吃饭的话，吃到一半说菜没有了，是不是很尴尬呢
？So they are having a big problem.
所以这边看到问题不小啊。
But spiritually speaking, there is no more wine can also happen to us.
那么今天我们用属灵的眼光来看，在我们的人生当中呢，没有酒这件事情也会发生啊。
Because the physical wine that we enjoy is limited.
因为属肉的看得到的形体的酒呢是有限的。
Maybe in our life we will encounter a moment of there is no more wine.
在我们的人生当中呢，我们总会碰到酒用尽的时候。
If we rely on wine or material substance to give us happiness,
如果今天我们就靠着这个酒，这个实体上的酒，为了要让我们在今生很快乐的话
，One day the wine may be running out.
有一天这个酒呢，这个产生快乐的源头会不见的。
For example, if money is your wine,
比如说我们把钱当酒
，But one day maybe your money is no more.
有一天这个钱也会用尽，就像酒用尽一样。
Your worldly happiness.Maybe no more.
那么，也许我们所看得到、所认为的快乐，也许有一天用完了。
Maybe your friends, your friendships are everywhere, but maybe one day they departed from you. There'll be no more.
今天我们所重视的朋友的关系，有一天也会用尽的。
If your happiness, if your of your wine is come from your career, maybe one day your career will collapse and there's no more.
今天我们所享受的酒，在人生当中，很可能是我们的事业，有一天我们的事业会不见的。
Or health or enjoyment will be no more.
也许我们的健康是我们当成享受的本钱，有一天健康不见了。
Yes, we are enjoying, but one day we'll discover, oh, it's running out, it's no more.
我们现在所谓的享受，有很多时候，这些享受会不见的。
Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13.
我们请看箴言。
Proverbs 14:13.
我们请看十四章，箴言十四章的十三节。箴言十四章的十三节：人在嬉笑中，心也忧愁；快乐至极，就生愁苦。
Wow, that really describes the contradiction about happiness.
这里真的写很好的一个写照啊，这种忧愁跟嬉笑当中的一个对比。
People in the world they try to be happy.
今天在世界上的人都喜欢喜笑快乐。
They drink wine, they celebrate or they have party.
那么大家都想尽办法让自己在肉体上享受快乐，享受嬉笑。
But actually, they look happy, but maybe deeply inside they are empty.
但是呢，在每一个人心里面最深处呢，却充满了忧愁。
So that's why even in laughter, the heart may sorrow.
所以这边圣经告诉我们说，人在表面虽然嬉笑中，但是心中忧愁啊。
People put on a mask, not a medical mask, right? But a mask faking happiness.
今天我们说大家都戴口罩，事实上每一个人都戴着面具，装出来自己是嬉笑快乐的。
Actually, they are not as happy as they think.
但是呢，在心里面却不是像外表上所看到的那么嬉笑快乐啊。
And at the end of the happiness may be grief.
那么走到最后呢，可能生出来的是愁苦啊。
Yes, you drink. When you drink, you're having a good time.
是的，我们可以拿酒作乐，没有问题。
But after you consume the whole bottle, there's no more wine. Oh, the bad time finish.
但是呢，当我们把这个酒用尽的时候，然后呢，愁苦就又再出来。
After a party.Maybe you have so much emptiness. When everybody got home, you are alone by yourself again.
啊，当我们在这个派对当中很开心的时候，当大家全部离开之后，我自己又面对着空空的屋子，是不是又开始忧愁了呢
？The wine in the world will run out someday.
一再的告诉我们，世界上的酒有一天会用完。
Even the most expensive wine.
就算是最贵的酒。
What is the most expensive wine so far?
那么到现在世界上最贵的酒是哪一种酒
？I did a research. There was a bottle of wine was sold in an auction 2018.
我们就做了一点点这个做了一点调查。2018年呢卖出来这瓶酒世界上最贵的。
It was produced in the year 1945. It's called Romani Conti.
那么这瓶酒呢，是1945年所出产的，在那个时候。
About half a million US dollar.
那么这可以看到，这个总共卖了呢，高达55万美金呐、
啊。Almost like 700,000 US Canadian dollars.
也差不多，也就是差不多70多万美加币啊。
Sometimes I think, how could that taste? If I can taste one bite.
就看到这样的酒卖这样的高的价钱，我们想说，哎，尝尝这个到底是这么贵的酒，到底尝起来像什么
？That costs like an apartment price.
那么这一光这因为这一杯酒啊，这瓶酒啊，差不多是一个房子的价钱。
Is it worth it?
真的值得吗？
Wow, even it's worth it so much.
那么就算它很值得。
There's only one small bottle.
也就这么一瓶。
After you drink it, there's no more.
喝完这瓶也就没有了。
This is what the world can provide.
那么这也就是今天世界上的酒能够提供出来也是有限量的。
Happiness from the world is temporary.
世界上的快乐是暂时的。
Happiness in the world is emptiness.
世界上的快乐到最后都是虚空的。
So we have to look for something better.
因此呢，我们要找寻更有价值、更好的。
Now let's look at chapter 2 verse 4, John chapter 2 verse 4.
我们看回约翰福音的第二章第四节。
John chapter 2 verse 4.
约翰福音二章的四节，耶稣说：“母亲，我与你有什么相干？我的时候还没有到啊。”
Now, when Mary told Jesus something.
当玛利亚主耶稣的母亲呢，告诉耶稣一些事情。
Mary told Jesus, "There's no more wine."
这个母亲玛利亚呢，告诉耶稣了，没有酒了嘞。
And Jesus replied her this sentence.
那么耶稣在第四节这样回答他。
Jesus said, "Woman, what does that concern have to do with me?"
这边说到，妇人啊，我与你有什么相干啊
My hour has not yet come.
我的时候还没有到。
Now, why would Mary told Jesus, "There's no more wine"?
哎，在这边我们会想说，为什么耶稣的母亲会去告诉耶稣没酒了呢
？Of course, Jesus knew it.
耶稣一定知道。
But Mary still have to tell Jesus.
但是耶稣的母亲玛利亚呢，就要告诉耶稣。
Because don't forget, when Mary, when she was conceived with Jesus, she knew who is inside her womb.
我们知道玛利亚在怀孕的时候就已经知道了，在她母胎当中这个人是谁。
She was told that you are bearing a Savior, a Messiah.
因为呢，她已经被天使告知了，在你腹中的这个婴儿就是未来的弥赛亚，就是救主。
And when the baby was born, the wise men came from afar to worship him.
那么我们也看到说，当主耶稣出生之后呢，这些有智慧的人来，这些博士们来敬拜他。
And you know, and she knows that this baby is special. It's not ordinary baby.
所以这个玛利亚这位身为母亲的人，当然知道这个婴儿耶稣呢是非常重要的。
Is the Messiah, is the Savior of the world, is God Himself.
因为他就是神的本身，他就是这位弥赛亚，就是这位救主。
However, since the baby Jesus was born.Until now, when Jesus was about 30 years old, nothing has happened.
但是玛利亚一路看，当耶稣出生到现在，差不多耶稣30岁了，好像什么事都没发生过。
He looks like he is a good kid, but he looks like very ordinary.
是的，他在母亲玛利亚的眼里面，他是一个很好的小孩子，但是似乎也没什么特别嘛。
And then now he started to come out, and he had a group of disciples.
那他开始，耶稣开始传道了，就有门徒跟着他了。
But he has not done anything to prove himself.
在这个之前呢，没有办法去证明说耶稣到底有多特别。
So Mary was very nervous in her heart.
所以我们看到母亲呢，这时候母亲心急了。
She's impatient.
她等不及了。
She thinks that Jesus now it is a perfect opportunity. Jesus, you have to do something.
那么母亲说：“哎呀，这个时候刚好是耶稣展现机会的时候了。”
So he told Jesus, "Now, son.Almost like now, there's no more wine. You got to do something.
所以我们看到这个母亲赶紧来跟耶稣讲啊，哎呀，没酒嘞。
But Jesus knew already.
但是我们看到主耶稣事实上早就知道了。
So from what Jesus replied her,
所以我们看到耶稣的回答。
Verse 4,
第四节。
It's a woman. Actually, they say woman is a very respectful reply, just like old lady or madam.
好，我们看到这里讲的妇人哈，不是不尊敬，而是非常有礼貌的一种回复啊。
Jesus did not say mother.
主耶稣在这边没有说妈妈，没有说母亲。
Jesus said, "Woman."
主耶稣说，妇人啊。
Yeah, even though you are my mother physically, but do not always think you are my mother.
那么换句话，耶稣要告诉玛利亚说，是的，肉身上你是我的母亲，但是不是在凡事上都是母亲呐、
啊。You are a woman in God's eye.
那么在神的眼中，你是一位妇人呐、啊。
So don't panic.
换句话，别紧张。
Don't lose faith.
不要失去对耶稣的信心。
Don't push Jesus. Don't force Jesus.
不要因为这样的事情就赶着耶稣赶快做事。
Jesus said, "My hour has not yet come."
耶稣的回答就这样回答说：“我的时候还没有到。”
You know, Jesus has his own schedule of everything in our life.
我们可以看到主耶稣在我们的人生当中都已经定好他想要看到的时间。
We don't know the schedule because it's hidden from us.
因为在我们的眼里面我们看不到，因为是隐藏的。
But you know what? God already has a plan for every one of us.
但是神对我们每一个人身上都有神的旨意存在。
God has a plan for our whole church.
那么神对教会有他教会的计划。
God has a plan for his salvation to fulfill.
那么神对他为对他的这个拯救计划有完全的计划。
But we know, you know, sometimes because we're living under time, we are so panic, we're easy to paranoid.
但是我们却因为时间的限制，所以我们觉得会紧张。
Oh, I've been praying for 3 weeks already. Why didn't God do something?
我们常常会这样说：我已经祷告了三个礼拜了，为什么什么都不见效
？I've been asking God to change him. Why is it not change?
我在求神改变所有的一切，为什么神好像什么动作都没有
？Why don't you do something right now?
那么为什么神啊，你为什么不现在做点东西
you know, ？Sometimes we are just like waiting for a bus to come, right? When the delay is scheduled, we're just so paranoid, so want to push.
有时候我们期待某些事情在什么时候该发生的，有时候看到没有发生，就觉得哎呀不得了了，时间到了，怎么办
？Just like sometimes when we send a text to another person, we see them, see the text, oh, red, but the person doesn't reply, and we keep sending again.
有时候我们看，当我们送这个简讯给对方，看到他已经读了，怎么没有回复嘞
？You know what? We have to be patient.
有时候我们真的要有耐心呐。
You don't have to remind Jesus what to do.
我们不需要去提醒耶稣下一步该怎么做。
Jesus said, "My hour has not yet come."
耶稣的回答很简单，我的时候还没到。
When it comes, Jesus will do something.
当耶稣的时候到的时候，一定耶稣有动作。
Of course, now Jesus is about to do something anyway.
那么这个时候，在下一节我们看到说，主耶稣已经准备有动作了。
Let's read chapter 2, verse 5.
我们看第五节，二章第五节，他母亲对佣人说了。我告诉你们什么，他告诉你们什么，你们就做什么。
Now, even though Mary was kind of told, you know, don't rush me, don't push me.
是的，母亲玛利亚呢，被耶稣告知了说，这与你相干，我的时候还没到，不要那么急嘛。
I know, you know, some mother, right, or some woman will be get offended.
这个时候，如果有时候身为母亲的人就觉得，哎，你儿子怎么这样讲话
？Oh, you don't respect me, I'm the mother.
哎，你不尊重我当你的母亲的哦。
But Mary, no complaint, no talking back.
好了，我们看看这个身为母亲的玛利亚呢，并没有因为这样生气了。
She just told the servant beside her.
她反而转过来告诉站在她旁边的佣人了。
Whatever he says to you, do it.
来，她告诉你们什么，你就做什么。
The whole miracle can perform is because of that statement.
我们会看到，这整个事情会这样，这个神迹会完成，就是因为这句话。
If Mary didn't kind of educate the servant about this.
如果玛利亚没有对佣人讲出这么有教育性的话
，Maybe the servant will not do whatever Jesus said.
也许跟在旁边的佣人并不会做耶稣交代他们做的事情。
Because at that time, not many people know about Jesus.
因为在那个时候并不知道耶稣是谁。
And Jesus is not related or very important guest for the banquet.
那么在这个宴席当中，耶稣并不是这么的重要，在整个宴席的客人身上。
I think you look at the whole dynamic.That Mary actually is more important guest. Maybe Mary is kind of like very close to the host.
哎，我们看到整个筵席的一个状态哈，也许玛利亚是筵席当中主人很重要的一个亲人或者一个客人。
Maybe Mary is helping around.
也许玛利亚呢正在帮忙所有的这些摆设。
So Mary told the servants this statement is so important.
所以玛利亚母亲呢告诉佣人这句话非常重要。
Whatever he says to you.You just do it.
他告诉你们什么，你就做什么。
That means no question asked.
换句话，不要再去问他说什么。
Just do it.
只要做就好。
Wow, this is called the faith of Mary.
我们也看到，这就是身为母亲玛利亚的信心呐。
Even if she doesn't know what the instruction is, but just do it.
这个时候的母亲不知道她的儿子要做些什么事，但是只是说只要做。
She has faith that my son.
换句话
，Jesus is the Messiah. He, whatever he say is true.
换句话呢，他知道主耶稣是弥赛亚，是救主，他所说的事情就是对的。
He even tell the servant, even you don't understand it, just do it.
换句话，他告诉佣人，也许你不知道他讲什么，但是就是做了就对了。
You know, sometimes we don't have this kind of faith.
啊，我们有时候没有这样的信心呐。
Sometimes we say to ourselves, I must understand it before I can do it.
有时候我们会说，我先了解再说啊。
Or sometimes we say, I must agree first before I can do it.
有时候我会觉得，我先同意再说啊。
If it doesn't make sense, I won't do it.
如果觉得行不通，这个计划不好。
Or if I don't like it, I won't do it.
或是我觉得不行，我不太喜欢这样子，所以不愿意做。
But faith is even you don't understand, you still do it.
但是我们谈信仰的时候，有时候我们确实不懂，但是还是要做。
So faith is just do it.
换句话呢，信心是什么？只要做就对了。
Next line, tell us. I'm not giving an advertisement here, right? But you know the advertisement in the world, they copy from the Bible.
我们看到哈，我们在这边不是做广告了，但是你会看到有一个广告词就是这样子。
They copy from the Bible, just do it.
那么他们从圣经里面学来的就是做就对了。
You know, just do it is very important, but you have to ask yourself, what are you doing it?
那么 就做就是对的，是很重要。但是我们做什么？
You don't do whatever the world tell you to do it.
我们不是做世界告诉我们想做该做的事。
Sometimes the world tell you, oh, you just do it, and then you do it.
有时候我们看到世界上的事情，我们会学着做就想做就做了。
People, Jesus tell you to do something, you don't do it.
但是反过来，耶稣借着圣经告诉我们的事，我们却觉得又觉得有点点不想做了。
For the world, whatever they tell you, you have to be careful. Don't copy everything.
今天世界告诉我们所学来的事情，有时候我们要小心呐，不能就这样做了。Like
the world tell you a lot of things.
今天世界告诉我们很多事。For
example,
比如说,
in our society, it's very liberal.
在我们社会里面，现在充满了所谓的自由。
Now it's called so-called pro-choice.
换句话，也就是说，这个要有所谓的选择性啊。
It's like the issue of abortion.
那么也就是所谓的自己要堕胎的这，尤其堕胎的这件事。
Some people say, you know what, we have right to choose whether we carry a baby or not.
换句话，大家开始强调说，要不要怀孕是我的选择。
If I don't like to carry a baby, I don't want it, then I abort it, I kill it.
也许我不想要这个小孩，所以我就有选择权来结束这个小孩的生命。
They do whatever they want. They just do it.
换句话呢，也就用尽所有的方法来满足自己的选择。
The Bible tells us very clearly.
圣经告诉我们什么？
In Ten Commandments, the Sixth Commandment.
在十诫当中的第六诫。
Thou shall not commit murder.
不可以杀人啊。
Murder means you pre-plan, pre-calculated, pre-plan about ending someone's life.
换句话，所谓的杀人，也就是有计谋、有预备，就是为了要杀掉这个人的生命。
If you are pregnant, you don't want a pregnancy. You want to end it. You plan it. Actually, it's a murder.
换句话，一个人如果已经怀孕了，想说我就要堕胎，就不要这个生命了。其实这都有预谋，这就像杀人是一样。
Even though the baby is not born out yet, but still a human being inside.
那么这是一个生命，就算他还没有出生在这个世界上，但是是有生命的个体。
Because you think you have too many children already, or you're too busy.
有的人有各式各样的理由，也许我太忙了，也许我的小孩已经多了。
Or you think that inside maybe the baby is not as healthy?
那么也许觉得说这个是不应该有的这个个体。
If you ended it, you kill a person.
那么换句话，不管用什么样的手段结束，这都是谋杀了。
If you just do it, you face judgment.
那么也许我们学这世界上说啊，就做了就对了，可是审判等我们了。
The world is telling us a lot of things. Just do it.
我们看到世界上很多事情就告诉我们说，依你想做的就做。
Like recently, our city is talking about the criminalization of some illicit drugs.
我们会看到说现在哈，有些社会，这个是社会。Our city of Vancouver. 我们这个城市里面告诉我们说要把一些毒品呢合法化。
Not only marijuana, but other illicit drugs.
啊，不只是一些大麻而已，还包括了其他这些用药的物品呢，都变成合法。
I really don't understand.
事实上，让我们觉得非常的疑惑啊。
Whatever was wrong, was illegal, was criminal everywhere else, and our societies, you say, just do it, it's okay.
在以前，在其他的地方，这些东西都还是违法的，但是在这里，我们却要把它合法化。
It's not a crime, you just do it.
那么换句话，也就是说，不再是犯罪行为了，只要做就对了。
So do not be fooled by the world.
也就是说，不要被世界愚弄我们。
People do whatever they want, but we are the children of God.
今天我们是神的儿子，我们不能够被愚弄啊。When
Jesus tells us do it, we just do it.
今天耶稣叫我们做的，我们才真的做啊。Now
let's turn back to chapter 2 verse 6.
我们再看回约翰福音2章6节。Chapter
2 verse 6.
2章的第6节，约翰福音照犹太人洁净的规矩，有6口石缸摆在那里，每一口可以盛2-3桶水。Now
besides, now during the wedding, there are 6 big water pot made of stone.
那么在婚宴之前呢，哎，这个门口有6口石缸啊。
The next slide show you the picture of the real stone jar found in those time.
好，下一页呢，我们看到荧幕上啊显示说那个石缸长什么样子。
Because 2,000 years ago, there's no running water and the tap water, right? They have to store water.
我们在2,000年前哈，没有所谓的自来水了，都是要存水。
So whenever they need water, they have to fetch from the container.
换句话呢，需要水就要从这种石缸、水容器里面拿。
This 6 container carry water is not for just ordinary reason.
好了，这6缸水呢，事实上不是一个普通的理由摆在那里而已。
It's for ritual purity, ceremony.
换句话呢，也就是有洁净的效果，所以对那个筵席有洁净的效果。
Because the Jewish people, they have so many ceremony requirement.
我们知道，在犹太人的节期里面有许多各式各样的节期。
They have to they have to wash themselves, but not because of hygienic reason, but because of spiritual reason.
他们不是单单是为了这个卫生理由要洁净自己，反而是以这个信仰的理由要来洁净自己。
So they do a lot of ceremony in front of other people, keep washing many times.
所以当他们在举办很多筵席节期的时候，有许多时候你会看到他们都用水来洗。
So there are 6 water pots stored outside there.
因此呢，在这个筵席的时候呢，在有六缸水在外面。
So the next slide tells us a more picture about this water pot.
好，在下一页告诉我们说，这六缸水的这个容器长怎样。
Now each pot can carry around 20 to 30 gallon of water.
好了，这里告诉我们它的容量哈，一个水缸大概20到30加仑的水。
Now the Bible specially mentioned that according to the purification's requirement of the Jew, the 6 water pots are there.
这里圣经告诉我们，所以也就是说，依照犹太人当时为洁净的规矩呢，所以有这六缸水在那里。
But you know the pot may be empty or half empty.
那么这六缸水呢，也许已经用了一些，用了一半呢。
Now, this water pot are very important element of this miracle.
好，这六缸水呢，在这件神迹上面占了很重要的一个部分呢。
Why did Jesus tell them to fill it with water?
为什么主耶稣告诉用人们说把缸里面的水倒满
？Let's read verse 7。
我们看第七节，耶稣对用人说了，把缸倒满了水。
Jesus said, "Use this pot, fill it with water."
这边说到说用这个缸呢装满水。
And then verse 8。
第八节，耶稣又说，现在可以舀出来送给管筵席的，他们就送去了。
So there's an action. Jesus tell them, put the water inside, and then bring the water out.
好，主耶稣告诉用人们有两个动作，把水倒满，然后把水舀出。
And it will become wine.
然后就变酒了。
It will become something better.
就变成更好的了。
Then why did Jesus choose this water bottle? This water pot.
我们看说主耶稣为什么要用这六缸水呢？
Now look at the details.
我们看看，仔细来看。
The spiritual teaching is always in the details.
我们看到哈，这种属灵的教训总是在这细小当中。
There are 6 stone pot.
这里看到了有六缸水。
6 is the number of human according to the Bible.
那么六这个六呢，代表的是人类的数字。
Human was created on the 6th day, the last day.
我们看到在创世当中呢，第六日是神创造人的那一日。
And then God rested on the 7th day.
然后第七日神就歇下自己的工作。
The Bible says 7 is the perfect number.
圣经告诉我们，大家都知道七是最好的数字。
God rested on the seventh day.
那么神祝福在第七日。
But 6 is a human number, missing something.
那么这个六呢，代表的是人类的数字，也就是少了那个一，总是少一部分。
Because 7 minus 1 is 6.
因为七减一就是那六。
What does it mean?
什么意思啊
？This stone jar, stone pot, representing the law of Moses.
我们看到这六缸水代表了在旧约时候摩西的律法。
Lot of purification rituals, lot of different regulations.
因为我们看到这六缸水的目的，也就是按照摩西律法，为了做洁净使用。
It's supposed to help human being to control people. Human being do not commit sin.
换句话，这摩西的律法，也就是利用这样来代表说，叫人类不要犯罪了。
However, the law cannot transform human's heart.
但是呢，我们会看到律法没有办法改变人的心呐。
Just like there are so many laws, just like in our society.
就好像我们今天社会到处都是法。
And they build a lot of prison.
那么建造了监狱啊。
If you break the law, you go to prison.
犯法入监就这么简单。
But those who break the law go to prison, do they come out? Do they transform?
那么我们看到了会犯法的人被关到监狱里面，从监狱出来之后，真的心里改变了吗
？Most people they come out, they do the same thing.
有些人从监狱出来之后，一样做同样的事。
So the law of Moses, even though it's good in purpose, but because of human weaknesses, it's not perfect.
所以我们会看到，摩西律法是好的，是不错的，但是呢，神人的心呢，却没有办法被修正、被转变。
Whenever there's a law, then people will think about how I can I go around the loophole and try to break the law.
我们看哈，凡是有法的地方，人呢就会想说如何躲过这个法。
There's a saying, right? It's not the truth, but there's a saying that the rules are meant to be broken, right?
The 我们看到
the law are made to be broken.
好，有这种说法了。所谓的法是什么意思？也就是呢，想办法把它破除这个法。
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7 verse 19.
我们请看希伯来书七章。
Hebrews 7:19.
希伯来书七章的第十九节。
The law make nothing perfect.
这边告诉我们了，律法原来一无所成啊。
It's not enough to save us.
换句话，不能够救我们啊。
But Jesus ordered the water to be poured inside.
但是呢，好了，告诉我们说，主耶稣说，用人呐、啊，把那个把水倒满。
verse 7. Let's read verse 7.
我们再到第七节.
Let's turn back to John chapter 2 verse 7.
我们再看约翰福音二章的七节，这边跟上我们说，耶稣对佣人说：“把缸倒满了水，他们就倒满了，直到缸口。”
Fill the water, fill it to the brim.
这边说要倒满哦，而且要倒到缸口哦。
Very full, do not leave any space.
而要把它填到最高点，不要浪费。
Water have to go inside.
那么水要必须要整个倒到缸里。
And then to draw it out.
然后再把它舀出来。
Now once again, let's talk about obedience. Faith is obedience.
我们看到信心，信心讲的就是一个顺服啊。
Faith is you follow even doesn't make sense.
那么信心也就是要做那些你自己认为好像不合理的事啊。How
much water are there?
我们看到多少水？
30 gallon each pot.
好，一缸30加仑。
So totally 6 times 30 is around 180 gallon.
那么这里总共六缸水有180加仑。
Lot of water, lot of work.
180加仑事实上是很多事情要做的。
Maybe the servant have to go to the well to fetch water.
换句话呢，那个佣人呢要到井里面打水上来，一缸一缸把它倒满。
They're already very busy, but they have to put aside whatever they've been doing.
是的，这些佣人已经整个都忙坏了，但是为了这样子还要再去拿水倒水。
But Mary already told them, whatever he told you, you just do it.
因为玛丽在前面告诉佣人说，他告诉你们什么，你就做什么。
Until they finished all 6 pots.
好。 整个六缸水都倒满了。
Then God Jesus transformed the water into wine.
那么这个时候，耶稣将整缸的水呢变成了酒。
If they only fill 3 pots,
那么如果他们只倒满3缸，
there will not be wine.
那么酒是不够的。
If they feel like 80% full,
那么如果这六缸只倒了80%满而已，
they say I'm so tired already. Come on, give me a break.
因为有人说我已经拿水拿到累死了。
80% will do, right? What is the difference?
那么这个时候到底会产生什么样的情况呢？
80% already shall do.
那么80%就够了啦，够了。
Why emphasize must be 100%?
那为什么你要求这么多，一定要倒到缸口呢？
It's water anyway.
不管怎么样，它总是水，水就是水嘛。
It's not going to make a difference.
水就是水，反正也不会变成什么东西了。
We can have thousands of excuses.
我们事实上很多时候都有很多的理由。
But faith is you do it and you do 100%.
但是信心。 要信心就是要100%的信心。
And then verse 8, Jesus tell them to pour it out.
第八节，主耶稣更进一步，叫他们舀出来。
And then deliver the drink to the guests.
好，然后呢，把它舀出来送给管筵席，送给客人。
Wow, and then the miracle has happened.
就在这个此时呢，神迹产生了。
We know that physically, water can never be turned to wine.
大家都知道了，常识告诉我们，水变酒不可能。
The next slide tells the chemical equation of how alcohol is formed.
那么我们第二，再下一个告诉我们说，酒是怎么来的
？Usually you need the grape juice first.
那么首先要有这个葡萄。
Because in the grape juice you have glucose inside.
那么葡萄里面呢有这个酸性存在。
glucose 叫葡萄糖。
有葡萄糖存在。
And in the glucose molecule you have carbon.
那么在这个葡萄糖的这个化学东西里面呢有这样的性质存在。
And you add yeast.
那么有效在里面。
There comes alcohol, ethanol, and carbon dioxide.
换句话呢，包括了二氧化碳，从整个混合在里头。
Just a little bit of chemistry, right? I think we all study in high school.
那么在高中的时候，大家都学过这一点点的化学作用。
Now the next slide says that water is H2O, 2 hydrogen, 1 oxygen.
那么这里告诉我们呢，这也就是呢，这个水事实上是非常单纯的东西啊。
Two hydrogen, 2个氢。
那么2个氢在里头。
1 oxygen, 一个氧。
那么有一个氧。
There's no carbon inside.
换句话呢，没有碳在里面。
And then you have no yeast.
那么再来又没有酵在里面。
You put the water 1,000 years will never turn to wine.
换句话，把酒就算放了1000年，它再怎么样不会变，把水放1000年也不会变酒。
However, when God's power, when Jesus' power is working,
但是如果神的灵耶稣的能力在里面运行的话,
He can turn everything into wine.
那么可以把所有的液体变成了酒。
Don't forget, God can make something out of nothing.
我们不要忘记了，我们的神是一个从无变有的神。
If God can do this,
如果神能够做这样的事情,
turn water into wine is not more difficult.
能够把水变成酒，其实在他来讲。 一点都不难,
but the problem is you whether you have the faith to follow him.
重点是我们是不是有信心来顺服他呢?
Sometimes in our life we say to ourselves, oh, that's too hard. It's not going to change.
有时候在我们的信仰里面，我们总觉得在我面前的太难了，改不了了啦。
That person is not going to change.
我们会说在我面前这个人改不了了啦。
My problem is not going to change.
今天我所面对的问题变不了了啦。
It's impossible.
是不可能改变的。
But you know what? Jesus come to the world. His job is to turn impossible into possible.
今天主耶稣来到这个世界上，就要将那个不可能的变为可能的。
But you have to follow him. You have to believe in him.
重点是，是不是我们有信心跟随他，真的相信他？
You have to obey him.
我们要能够顺服他。
In our church already, so many brothers and sisters actually they have experienced how God turned impossibility into possibility.
今天我们弟兄姐妹都有这样的体验，将神将不可能变为可能，就在发生在我们面前。
So afterward, when they bring the wine out, when they tasted it.
所以当这个佣人呢交给管筵席拿去出来，然后尝一尝的时候
，Let's read chapter 2 verse 10。
来，我们看第十节，二章第十节对他说：“人都是啊，先摆上好酒，等客喝足了，上才摆上次的。你倒把好酒留到如今呐、
啊。”Wow, when the guests taste about this water turned wine, they were amazed.
所以当客人尝到这个从水变酒的之后呢，觉得说这个好酒啊
，They have a conclusion that this so-called wine is better than the previous served wine.
所以他们都一致异口同心的说，这真的是好酒啊，比之前喝的更棒啊。
Wow, they say, you know, usually people keep the good things now at the beginning.
所以呢，这边也说了，好事总是摆在最前面。
Because 好酒，
好酒都摆在最前面。
Because when people start drinking, their mind is sober, so they know whether the wine is good or bad.
好。好酒喝多了呢，大家都晕晕的。那到时候呢，再上了酒呢，好跟坏都没差了。
At the beginning, when people are sober, they're clear-minded.
所以，因为刚开始呢，大家很清醒的，好酒一定要上。
Oh, good wine, okay, they know it.
所以他们一尝就知道这是好酒，这不错的，对主人有信心。
And after they are drunk, they bring the inferior wine, and people don't care.
好了，喝多了，头开始晕了，这个时候上次级的酒都无所谓了。
They say, "Wow, you keep the good wine until now."
好了，这边是这里说到了，客人说你把最好的摆在最后啊。
What does it mean？
什么意思啊
？In our life, in the past, maybe we rely on the worldly wine.
今天在我们的生活当中，以前我们是靠着世界上的酒。
However, after we know Jesus，
但是从认识耶稣开始
，He brings us better grace.
他在这个时候呢，带给我们更好的恩典。
Let's turn to John chapter 1 verse 16。
我们请看约翰福音一章。
John chapter 1 verse 16 to 17.
约翰福音一章的第十六节、第十七节，从他丰满的恩典里，我们都领受了，而且恩上加恩啊。十七节，律法本是借着摩西传的，恩典和真理都是由基督耶稣来的。
Here he is explaining exactly what Jesus is doing in this parable and in this miracle.
这里这两节告诉我们说，耶稣在这一段神迹里面真正做的事情就是这样子。
Yes, already we have some grace before.
是的，我们在之前确实领受到一些恩典。
Maybe through the law that people know God。
那么经过主呢，我们认识了
律法。
经过律法呢，我们认识了主。
But people cannot be transformed。
但是呢，经过律法却不能够改变人。
But Jesus brings something better。
但是耶稣基督来却带了更多的东西。
He fulfilled the law。
他已经完成了律法。
And then bring us true salvation。
然后真的带给我们真的真理跟恩典。
Now, brother and sister。
弟兄姐妹。
Do you longing for the best happiness, blessed grace?
今天我们是不是真的很期待那永远的福分跟恩典
？After you know Jesus,
在我们认识耶稣之后
，life is no more the same.
那么认识耶稣之后的生活是不一样的。
Jesus have kept a good wine, the spiritual wine for you, not a physical wine.
因为主耶稣留下那属灵美好的上酒等着我们
，which is the grace of Jesus.
那么也就是耶稣基督的恩典。
Let's sing him.
我们一起唱诗。
108
首。